Three, two, one.
Here we go. Hello, and welcome to a special workforce recruitment and retention episode of the No Normal Show, brought to you by Revive. This is where we leave all things status quo, traditional, old school, and boring in the dust, and celebrate the new, the powerful, the innovative, the future, all related to how brands can lead the way in health. I'm your co-host, Stephanie Weirwill, EVP of Integrated Marketing at Revive, and I'm going to give you a little background on where we are in this massive healthcare workforce and staffing issue. Then we're going to flash back to some very specific recruitment recommendations that we made on this very podcast at the end of 2022. So when we do, I will be joined by Chris Bevelo, now Revive CEO, Desiree Duncan, our VP Health Equity and Inclusion, and Chris Wickline, SVP of Strategy here at Revive. So why are we focusing in on workforce issues today? It's been a really hot topic, for sure, for about 3 to 4 years now, but it is hotter than ever and more pressing than ever today. Every time we turn around, our friends at healthcare organizations, especially on the provider side, are noting that they have access issues due to staffing challenges. And some extreme cases, care centers have to be shut down. In others, wait times are very long. There are certainly many factors at play here, but one big one is the shortage of healthcare workers overall, which is especially prominent for nurses, physicians, and frontline clinicians. So I'm going to paint a little bit of a data picture. Stick with me. It's going to be a little bleak. It's going to be a little overwhelming. But after we do that, we will get into some really specific solutions. And we're going to focus in on recruitment specifically, although that's not the entire solution by any means. But let's just dig deep into our data archives. So here's where we are. A workforce analysis in Health Affairs that came out near the end of last year found that the total supply of registered nurses, so RNs specifically, decreased by more than 100,000 in the pandemic. That was the largest drop ever in the past 4 decades, and I don't think that's any new news to any of us. But as we look forward, another 800,000 nurses intend to leave the workforce over the next 5 years. So that's a big number. 800,000 is a big number. Here's a bigger number, though. McKinsey conducted a study about the state of nursing staffing, and their survey showed that 31% of nurses indicate that they may leave their current direct patient care positions over the next year. So that was RNs, registered nurses specifically. If we were to take that into the nursing population overall and overlay that to nurses in the US, that would equate to about 1.3 million nurses. That's massive, who are toying with or considering leaving their care jobs. So big numbers aside, why is this? What makes them want to leave? Well, 52% said that they don't feel valued by the organization. That's a large number. That's more than half. But also that's something that organizations should be able to fix and focus on is valuing and showing care and value for their nurses. Other factors are feeling like there's inadequate compensation or no work-life balance or unmanageable jobs. But now to some positive things. What makes them want to stay? 82% say that doing meaningful work is an important factor. Having positive interactions, having caring and trusting teammates. And yes, 62% want a flexible work schedule and work-life balance. So these things considered, when we're thinking about recruitment and retention, on the retention side, how are we valuing our nurses and helping them stay? On the recruitment side, how are we showing folks that they can do truly meaningful work? And how are we showing our current nurses that they can do meaningful work and also giving them the work-life balance they so desire? So those are a couple questions which we will touch on as we go back in our time machine in a second and have some recommendations. Before we do that, let's just flip quickly to the physician side of this, because there's a shortage there too, of course, right? The Association of American Medical Colleges noted recently that if workforce trends continue, the U.S. will be short almost 50,000 primary care positions in a decade. So said another way, that's a shortage of 124,000 physicians by 2034. Again, overwhelming, bleak, intense numbers. There's a lot to be done here. Lawmakers are taking notice. During a February Senate hearing, the healthcare personnel shortage was a big focus. Certainly organizations are really leaned into this. It's no shock whatsoever, if you're in this industry, that staffing shortages are an issue. But what do we do about it, right? And what can we specifically as marketers and communications professionals do? Can we get involved in recruiting? Can we get involved in retention? Can we rally around internal comms? How do we recruit differently? So we're going to answer all those questions and more. And Chris Bevel is going to lead us in that conversation. So let's go back into the time machine of a very recent episode and talk about what marketers can do about this.
We have talked about workforce in the past shows. We have talked about why we believe marketing leaders at health systems should be taking a dominant role or a primary role or a more significant role or heck, any role in helping with this issue, because it is the number one issue that health systems are facing. So today, what we want to talk about is what we're hearing back from a lot of our clients and a lot of healthcare marketers in terms of, wait, what? We're supposed to be doing what? Oh, no. So we're going to march through some of the things that we've been hearing and give our point of view on it. So I'm just going to throw this out. We got the agenda. I'm just going to throw something out and see who wants to answer it. Are you ready? Okay. So one of the first things that we hear, and this is completely understandable, is like, what? You expect me to like help with recruitment and retention with the thousand other things I have on my plate today? Ain't nobody got time for that. What do you say, crew, to that?
So a couple things. One is the empathy of understanding and hearing. I think part of the reason why that's the first reaction is traditionally marketing communications number one job is to drive growth for the organization, drive revenue, create the brand, build the brand, do all the things that come with that. And that's a lot. It is a lot. And right now, keeping revenue and driving revenue is really important, especially, you know, whether it's from a service line marketing or from a health tech standpoint. Health tech has really been struggling. So there's a lot to do. And people really played out of their territory over the last 2 years. And many marketers leaned into public health and leaned into community initiatives and trying to ensure that everyone got vaccinated and that everything was good to go. However, the other side of that coin is part of, especially in a health system, access is required in order to drive growth and revenue. And part of access is employee, capacity and having enough employees and having enough staff. And so the two are so intricately linked that how can a marketer do their job if we don't have enough staff? It's a challenge.
It's definitely something we've been hearing from clients around, you know, like some service line marketing. It's like, we need to talk about this. We need to highlight this, but the capacity is low. But I know, Chris, you had some thoughts to jump in there on.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's so easy to say, oh, it's, you know, nursing staff, right? And physicians, we focus a lot on that, but I've heard from some of our clients, look, we can get the clinical staff. Some of the frontline staff is the hardest to get too. So, you know, it's an all over issue, right? And I think sometimes, I don't know, I want to think that, you know, as a people and as Americans, we're sometimes best in a crisis, right? We do really well pulling together in a crisis. And God, isn't this a crisis for our businesses?
Yeah. And also hearing that from another client around, they felt really galvanized when they were rallying around COVID and that they really came up with some of these incredible solutions. So maybe this is that other opportunity to rally around something that's going to benefit growth for all facets of the organization.
Okay. So I get it. I see why we might want to be involved, but I got to be honest with you, right? Like as a marketing leader here at this health system, we don't spend a lot of time in recruitment and retention. You know, that's usually HR's job. And I'm not sure what we could bring to the table. You know, what expertise do we have to lend to it? It's not our field. It's not an audience we spend a lot of time with. What are we bringing to the table that could help? I love this role playing. It's really good. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I mean, it's about fundamental skills, right? So yeah, it is stepping out of the traditional day-to-day work, but you know, we understand how to look at the needs of a target group of people and understand what they need, and how do we construct an offering that meets their need? How do we reach them and engage them in a way where they're going to be and in with messages that kind of resonate? How do we compel them to act? I mean, you know, so a lot of the same underlying skill sets are different. They're just are the same. They're just applied to different audiences.
Yeah, you said reach. I would add targeting. Smart targeting. That's what recruiting is all about. Okay, I need this group of this role or this series of roles. Who is my customer, consumer, in this case, potential employee? But same thing. What do I need? Who do I need? Where can I find them? How do I target them? What are the keywords I should target them with? Who do I need to reach out to? Who are the decision makers? It's the same process. And in many cases, advertising has even become a higher part of recruiting than it used to be. It used to be, well, back in the day, you walk into a building and leave your resume, you know, at the front desk. But, you know, now it's very much of advertising on LinkedIn and advertising in all kinds of spaces and places, Indeed and beyond. And so advertising skills are extremely important.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely about that sense of, you know, it's just a different audience. You know, so you can work closely with your talent acquisitions team to understand that audience, gain insights and nuance to how you would tweak the campaign and support, you know, what they're doing, as well as what you're needing to do to drive growth. So there is that opportunity to, you know, give more details and ideas around that targeting, those efforts to shift messaging and other ways to reach, because knowing that talent acquisition teams do work with recruitment marketing tactics, but there's another opportunity for you to help support that and driving more of a, you know, creative direction and messaging that's going to impact movement on some of these ads that they're seeing out there and drive a person to really want to work for your organization.
So again, this is me as narrator voice. This does remind me of here at Revive, we take a lot of online training courses that are provided to us. And it reminds me that sometimes they have these terrible cheesy actors that role play. And that's what I'm doing. You guys aren't being cheesy, you're being authentic, but I'm going to continue in it because it's kind of fun.
I love the monotone narrator voice, Chris. It's like the bored narrator. I love it.
Okay, so here I go. I'm going to go back to my voice, okay? Wow, I see what you guys are saying. That makes a lot of sense. And I can even see how it might apply to something like brand, where I spend a lot of time in brand, and I think there could be a lot I could bring over when it comes to employer brands, for example, and doing that from recruitment. But you know what? Gee whiz, when I've talked to HR about this, there are sure a lot of things going on in this organization. It sounds like there's 1,001 different strategies and tactics they're trying. I'm not even sure where to start.
Really amp that up. Acting skills.
Yeah, let's start with moving out of Leave It to Beaver land and moving into the modern era.
Oh, I'm sad. So you're saying I don't have a future in film. But seriously, what there's so many things going on. Where do I start? Where do I even think about contributing?
I always love the analogy, and this is kind of dangerous for somebody who really doesn't know much about baseball, but what I perceive about small ball is just a great way to kind of think about it. I mean, so often we're called in, you know, in working with our clients, we see them being called in to solve an immediate challenge, right? Is this any different, right? Come in, make an impact, and then figure out what you need to do on a bigger scale when you have the time or opportunity to do it. So I think it's about small ball. What can we do to come in and look at how do we tweak a message? How do we try another channel? How do we, you know, do something different with creative? What little tweaks can we make? Because those little things a lot of times have big impact.
Yeah. So I want to give some additional examples because that's awesome. I think like a lot of this is the maybe somewhat political or roles conversation about marketing and communications versus recruiting and HR. But back to playing to the strengths of, okay, as marketers, you know, we know We know how to reach an audience. We know targeting. We know creative, as Chris just mentioned. So maybe there's a way to collaborate and say, okay, let's look at what's running in market. Let's see how it could be edited or tweaked, to your point, Chris. Let's see what we could test. Could we run some A/B tests? Could we build on some things? And then another one is, who do you already have in your ambassador kit, in your advocate kit, who can speak out, who can recruit the friends, right? What are toolkits that current employees could have to be able to reach out to their networks? How could they share either literally on social media or more metaphorically in word of mouth? How can we use them to our best advantage? So all of those are things that can be relatively simply, I'll use the word relative because everything has got to be relative, done, right? And I think the point is, it doesn't have to be, oh my goodness, we need a wholesale redo. We did talk many, many moons and episodes ago about creating an employer brand and about rethinking things. And all of that is important and great, but like, there are things that can be done today.
Wow. You guys really sound like you know what you're talking about. Maybe I could think about bringing you all in to help me. In what ways could Revive help me with our workforce issues to get me on the path to solving this giant crisis we face?
Well, Chris, comma. Yeah, so one thing that we've been doing at Revive is we've got several different ways to think of this. So quick wins is one of them, but there's others. There's things like recruitment is equal, if not, very similar to retention. So what are some ways that we can think about retaining folks? So we very much can partner with marketers to kind of say, okay, like, let's try to solve this problem, because I think often, again, marketers come up on that issue of, I've got to drive growth, but I don't have access. So it's kind of starting with those small things and building from there. But Des and Chris, you can probably say smarter things than me.
I mean, I think one of the most interesting things is, and we get caught up in this in marketing, is, right, we think, okay, we got to find new patients. We got to do acquisition stuff. And the reality is that we got people in our own ranks. And there was a great article, Stephanie, that you found in the Wall Street Journal that was just inspiring, thinking about, you know, we have people in lower ranks of healthcare, like CNAs, for instance, that might want to advance. And some of those are also, racially diverse folks that are looking for opportunities to grow. So it's, you know, it's, we have people among us who, you know, might be looking for opportunities to advance. What can we do there? That's not quote unquote, I'm keeping a nurse. That's I'm building talent, right? In places that I need to. It's kind of a win-win in both scenarios. So I think it's about not just thinking about new all the time and getting new, but what do we do to keep and grow?
Yes, 1000%. You know, it's, you know, definitely a portion recruitment, a portion retainment, a portion culture. But essentially all of this is going to be unique to your organization. So building that game plan, you know, building that playbook to understand, because it's, you know, it's conversations we've been having with other clients. There's nuances, but a lot of it is around the same thing of, you know, what can we be doing? Are there other opportunities? What can we leverage from our existing brand that we can bring into the employer brand? And it's going to be ongoing, you know, this, yes, quick wins definitely to get us started. But if you are in a unique position to, you know, lead the way, this could be an opportunity to gain you a seat at the table, you know, from a strategic standpoint of being that leader within the organization that, you know, as marketers, we love to come with solutions. You know, this is an opportunity to really stand yourself up, especially with lead strategists in the community in the organization. To show like, hey, we are a go-to entity for anything that you need to help you drive growth for the organization.
Wow. This has been a great conversation. Thanks so much for your input. I think I'm ready to take the next step. Ba-da-ba-ba-boo. Thank you for joining our workforce marketing video. For more information, you can reach out to Revive at www.reviveagency.com. And scene. Nice.
Chris absolutely has a future career. It's like half workforce training videos, half local advertising.
That was fun. That was a fun way to do that. Brought some fun to a very difficult topic. We should have done that with monkeypox.
Next time, the next outbreak, we will do this.
Next time on the No Normal Show.
Oh, that outbreak is coming sooner than we think.
Enough. Okay, that was great, you guys. Thank you.